Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda, and we are going to have a very interesting chat today with a woman named Raja Shree, and she is the founder of Cali Key Reiki. So, as all of you know, we have so many discussions here on the podcast to help us all get exposure to different lenses of healing and the ways that people are practicing and just all of these different tools that may inspire you or not. Whatever it is, take what resonates and leave the rest. We are here to learn and have fun together. That's what this community is all about. So, Raja Shree, she is also the author of a book called May the Love Force Be With You. And again, she is the founder of Cali Key Reiki, which is a lineage based on the divine feminine and yogic tradition. So, you know how this goes. We get a lot from her. I asked her all the questions that I think you all would want answers to, and we had a lovely conversation. So, I just want to thank her again for coming to share with us here on Reiki Radio. If you want to learn more about her work, you can visit her website, thewisdomschool.us. Now, in other news, I am very excited to let you know that it is official. I will be hosting a Reiki retreat intensive in September in San Diego, and I am so excited about it. So, it is for Shodan Okiden. It is a 5-day retreat. And prior to us meeting in in September, during the month of August, everyone who is participating, we have a schedule where you will receive Nkaku. So I will be doing remote sessions to help prepare everyone energetically for the retreat and the work that we will be doing together for 5 days. And then when the training is over throughout the month of October, we will still be gathering to meet to continue our practices online via Zoom. So, anyway, you can get more information about all of this. I am sending the official link out in my newsletter for April. However, a few people have already registered. So, if you want information pre-registration, you're like, I'm not waiting. I want to come now. Just email me and I'll send you the information. So, I just want to let you know that because I'm always asked, when am I teaching a class? That is coming up. Very excited. Let's see, what else? I think that's it, my loves. Don't forget to download the Energetic Alchemist app if you haven't already. There's plenty of free content there to support you on your path. And yeah, I think that is it for now. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Let's learn about Kali Ki Reiki, and I will see you on the other side. Everyone, we are here today with the beautiful Raja Shree, the founder of Cali Key Reiki and the author of May the Love Force Be With You. I want to thank you, first of all, for taking time to have this conversation today.
Oh, well, thank you for your time, Yolanda, and thank the listeners for their time with us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, always so thankful for everyone tuning in. So this is going to be a very interesting conversation, I'm sure. I have so many questions for you. And primarily, I'm curious about the system of Reiki that has come through you. And we'll
Yeah.
get into that, of course. But I want to know a little bit about what got you into Reiki at all. What has been your journey, your path? Because this wasn't always your line of work.
No, it wasn't. And it's one of those stories that I have to go way back about. When I was 12, I read the New Testament. I was raised in a traditional Protestant family. And I'd heard all the Bible stories and what have you, but I actually read the New Testament. And in reading it, I was surprised to find that when I read about Jesus and what he was doing, that most of the time he was spending his time healing.
Yes.
And, he's known for, of course, for his great works and his sermons, but not so much for the healing, or else they're just thought of as the miracles. So I was so curious about this, and I asked an elder in the church, and I got a very patriarchal kind of answer. Oh, Joni, we don't worry about those kind of things today because, that's what Jesus had to do back in his time. But now we have medical science, because I had asked, can we do this? And but I had this very strong feeling that this kind of healing is something that could come through anybody. And so, I was very put off by that response. And I continued in my own path of yoga and meditation and psychology,
Yes.
right? Because that was like a legitimate form of healing people and helping people. But all along, I just maintained this curiosity and this sense of, there's just so much more going on. And I did hear about Reiki, but I grew up, Yolanda, in the 50s and the 60s. So there wasn't much talk about Reiki. I did study Christian laying on of hands, which was wonderful. And it took me many, many years before I could find somebody to train me in Reiki. And many years after that, I got trained in first and second level. And many years after that, before I found somebody that I felt comfortable taking me to master. So in the meantime, I had a busy career as a clinical psychologist. I was doing psychotherapy, loved the work, found it very, very helpful, but always, especially because I was doing yoga and meditation on the side, it was like, no, there's more. There's something else. And it really took until 2007 when I was mastered to realize that, yeah, I mean, Reiki can go much deeper, actually, even than psychotherapy.
I'm glad you bring this up because I'm wanted to ask you about this, especially with your background in psychology, but also, of course, being a practitioner of energy as well. A lot now, I think people are starting to have more conversations around the benefits of energy work and understanding mind-body connection and how, it's all interconnected, our entire systems. But because of the background you have, did you notice anything specifically about that correlation between our flow of energy and our states of consciousness, or how we may hold trauma and how energy may play a part in helping to release or balance these things?
I mean, briefly, yes. And my yogic understanding really helped me understand what physicists had started telling us, right? That everything is energy.
Right.
But it was really my yogic practice and my meditation practice that helped me to see, wait a minute, what we're working with people's conflicts, with their traumas, it's energy, and it's energy that's bottled up, it's gotten densified, it's gotten congealed, and talking one's way through it is one way,
Yes.
but it gets stuck in the body, right? And this was kind of new thinking at a certain time. Now you're right. There's somatic therapies that people do and various things,
Right.
but for me it was like, I started practicing Reiki kind of on the sly, and I was giving Reiki to my friends, and I was seeing these incredible transformations in them without talking about things, right? That it sometimes would take years to talk about in psychotherapy. And what I understood, especially from my yogic background, is the mind is just one layer of our being, and one layer of our being that we put a whole lot of focus into, right? And so it's like in psychotherapy, we're actually using the mind and changing our thoughts, modifying our thoughts to shift energy. Right. So in some ways, it's more direct to just go in and shift energy, and that will then shift thoughts. And that's not to say that I'm saying that psychotherapy isn't useful and beneficial. It's absolutely essential. But it's just one, there are these different layers of consciousness. I think this is what you're asking about, right? I mean, the body is a consciousness,
Yes.
right? It's a physical consciousness. And then there's our emotional consciousness, there's our mental, there's our psychic, there's our intuitive, there's our spirit. And so the mind is one means, and the mind is part of the egoic structure. So the ego trying to change the ego often gets in its own way. And so sometimes we need to work at more subtle levels to change our defenses, our habits, etc.
It's interesting too. I mean, thinking of it from that lens, it would seem like such a benefit. And I ask this in part too, because I've worked with a lot of people who come into wanting to receive Reiki training who are therapist or psychologist in these types of things and just wanting another layer of how to help people. But the way that you describe it reminds me of, instead of trying to analyze only what it is that we may be holding, just from that mental lens, once we allow energy to support the movement, the unlocking, the even bringing things back up, then that could even set a maybe a sturdier platform for what may then be discussed. So that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
And I think that the way that you just worded that is beautiful. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Look at us learning here on Reiki Radio. Thank you. Well, okay. So with all of this, with this background, and I do want to know a little bit more about your yogic background, because I think this all leads into, again, the Kali Ki Reiki, which we're going to talk about. So what really drew you into yoga, and what about that became so primary and precious to you?
And I think it's really meditation that drew me into yoga. Again, I grew up in a Christian family and I was taught to pray. But, prayer is talking to God,
Yeah.
right? Meditation, as some say, is listening.
Listening, yeah.
And I just needed to do that. So then that's what drew me in. And then once I started learning the yoga postures, right, and how it opened up the body and released energy in those ways, it was like, yes. And I have to say, I started practicing yoga as a teenager even, and it just felt like my way. And I think that has to do with previous incarnations and various things, but also, I began to study the yogic philosophy. So at the same time I was studying Western psychology, I was delving into Eastern philosophy and that psychology. And it's a little different. And what it's about is tuning in to the true self, right? Working beyond the ego. And I found that to be very attractive, both as a meditator and as a psychologist.
One of the things that you just said sticks out to me too. I think a lot of times we don't think about. So, for example, when people ask me about meditation or if I'm leading meditation, I often start with just the basics of posture so that we can open up the body and sit in such a way that we can allow more flow and, just be more receptive, more tuned in. And it even seems to bring our mind into a state of presence just from the posturing. And even you saying about the yoga postures and how that really does open the body. I want to ask you about that too, like how even some of these subtle things that we may overlook, how they play a big part in our overall function.
You mean subtle things like how we carry
Right.
ourselves?
Yes.
Absolutely. And how we breathe.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. They affect us tremendously. And then of course, if we pivot back to Reiki,
Yeah.
right? Reiki allows the energy to flow through us just like yoga does,
Right.
so that we breathe more fully and so that we hold ourselves differently, right? Because we're being held by the energy that's
Yeah.
flowing through us.
Yes.
And we begin to recognize that instead of getting hemmed into our body, and our contractions that we tend to do when we're anxious and
Right.
worried. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is that sense of authority that you even feel in your body when you posture yourself in a particular way. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, I could probably talk to you about all of this all day, but I know we have to get to the Cali Key. So there's a lot. It sounds like you're very curious, not just about healing, but it sounds like just our function in a lot of ways. And your studies gave you different lenses and angles of understanding us, our capacity, and all of these beautiful layers we have. So you're practicing Reiki, and then were you teaching? What happened that brought Cali Key even into your awareness?
So I became a master in 2007. I was giving Reiki to a few people here and there, and by that time I was actually giving Reiki to a few of my psychotherapy clients, although it's not officially sanctioned. And they just wanted to learn from me, so then they wanted me to start teaching. So I did start teaching right away. So it was still in the traditional Usui line lineage. And then what happened in 2008, or a little before, I started a deep yogic study and meditation practice with a teacher named Paul Muller Ortega. And this was Tantric Shaivism, which may or may not be familiar to some of you, but it's very much non-dual. And it felt like a convergence happened. I'd been meditating, but this was a different, new, very deep meditation practice. I started this practice at the same time. I had basically just been mastered, and then my psychology. So like these three prongs, and as we talk more about Kali Ki Reiki, the significance of three will arise. These three prongs, I feel like they just came together. It was like a confluence in a certain time. And I began to have these mystical experiences and encounters with Kalima, with the Divine Mother.
Yes.
And I've always seen her in the form of Kali, who to me is pure love. I mean, she can be very fierce because love can be very fierce, right? But she's the goddess of transformation. She's the force of transformation. Her destructiveness is about clearing stuff out so that the new can arise.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about her because I think a lot of times when people just see the images of Kali, they're just like, no.
Right. They
What is
see
going on
the
with her?
tongue lolling out and blood dripping from it. And actually the story there is she would catch the blood of the demons before the blood could fall to the earth so that the demons couldn't multiply, because if their blood fell to the earth, they would multiply. But it's kind of interesting how people mistake her for the goddess of death, and she's not that. She is the goddess of transformation. There's another god, Yama, who is the god of death in the Hindu tradition. So yes, she can be very intimidating to many people. I study deeply Ramakrishna, who was an Indian saint, an enlightened Indian saint of the last century, and his main divine was Kali Ma, And, there would be stories of him being embraced in her arms and being nursed, so that she is the divine mother, who comes in all sorts of forms.
Yeah.
And, we honor all of those forms. But
But
yeah.
it's so interesting because it reminds me of, again, like in our humanness, we do make a lot of, we come to a lot of conclusions based on one layer of perception. And it's
Yeah.
so interesting because I think that even applies to how we may see the world, but even ourselves, you know, in this work, all of a sudden we get this opportunity to see ourselves so much differently, which we'll get into that too. But I just want to clarify for everyone. So Kali Ki Reiki came through to you. Would we say like a transmission from Kali?
From Kali.
Yeah.
And so what actually happened is all these three things had been happening: the meditation, the Reiki mastery, and psychology, of course. And I gave a workshop on all three of those things. And it was after this workshop, I got on a plane, a late night plane. I flew to Michigan from California, and spent some time with my mother. And during the time that I was there, I was in my father's room. He had passed many years earlier, and I used to like to sleep in his room and in the dark and in his bed. It always was very comforting. And he had room darkening blinds, and it was terribly dark. Anyway, for 7 nights, I was awakened at the same time every night by light, by diffuse light. And, I'm curious. I get up, I look for a source. There's no light under my mom's door. Room darkening blinds are there. I open the blinds. There's no light outside because it's like new moon,
Yeah.
right? There's like no source of light. Even I'm doing all these things, and I'm still seeing it. It's like it just persisted, and it was everywhere. So over the period of 7 nights, it was like the light began emerging from light, which kind of doesn't make sense either, unless there's a source, right? And it began to take the form. First, I saw like three long lines of light, but still within light. And eventually, by the end of the 7 nights, they took the form of what's called the trishul, like the trident. So,
Okay.
the three with a horizontal cross piece. And I was just, overwhelmed by this experience. I talked to several of my teachers about it, my meditation teacher, who was also blown away. And because, oh, I left this part out, the final night, I was told that this was a Reiki symbol and that I was to use it in Reiki. So I took it to my teacher's teacher, Susanna Lepke, who's very traditional in her Reiki training. And she was like, blown away by its power because she was in Germany at the time. And I sent it to her over Skype. And, she was just bowled away. She said, "Yeah, this is a Reiki symbol, and you've got to use it. Use it only with your advanced students right now, because it was so powerful." So there we were. We began incorporating the trishul, which is a has a huge role in the Hindu tradition of the trishul, the trident, and the three states of consciousness: waking, dreaming, and sleep. That you see, you've got three, but actually, if you look at the negative space, right, there's four. And so the three states of consciousness, waking, sleeping, and dreaming, are all embedded in the fourth state, which is the state of pure consciousness, of the divine. So similarly, give me just a moment. The Christian Trinity, right?
Yeah.
We have three forms of the divine, all of which really are encompassed in the fourth or the one of the divine. So these trinities were showing up everywhere for me. We use this symbol, found it to be extremely powerful, and I thought, well, that's that. I teach Reiki, I teach the traditional symbols, and then I add this on. But other symbols started coming. She started coming to me in other ways and presenting other forms of light. And that's how I saw them, as forms of light. And they would dance and they would morph. And it was all very, well, really very feminine in
Yeah.
terms of how it all unfolded.
Well, we're going to get into this feminine aspect. And I have to ask you this because you said the seven nights, and then, of course, with the trident, with the three prongs, but the space in between still 3, 4, 7, right? So I wanted to ask you, did
Yes.
that number have any significance to you at the time, or does it overall in this system,
You mean the number of three
3 or 7?
or seven? Seven had always been a number that I was attracted to. And you're seeing my cat Kiwi come back. It's the name of my cat Seven, who lived until he was 25.
Oh, wow.
So seven had always just felt that way to me. And of course, three, I think, is meaningful in all spiritual traditions,
Right.
actually.
Yeah. So just so everyone knows, and it's very clear, what came to you dancing in form of light were the actual symbols themselves. So I want to ask you a little bit about your relationship to symbols and how you think they, maybe the essence of them, plays a role in healing, just in general, because even within, throughout the systems of Reiki, we have these symbols, and a lot of people have a curiosity of just what about the essence of these?
Yeah, like what are they?
Right.
Yeah, and to me, they're imprints of the divine. And and because they are different from one another, right? They're imprints of the divine, of a certain frequency of the divine, we might say. Now, I call this energy the love force, right? Because it's the life force, yes, but life is love imprinted and manifested.
Yes.
And this is the energy of the Divine Mother. And so it's her energy, her Shakti, her Kundalini, her prana coming through as an imprint. It's given to us, right, so that we can utilize this to be a vessel of her force, of her love force, her power of healing. And also it protects us from absorbing something from someone who we're offering this to. So I mean, I think a symbol is actually much more than that,
Yeah.
but that's a brief way of describing it. And in Kali Ki Reiki, I just want to say, these symbols, do they move? They dance. And when I was taught traditional Reiki, you really learned it as, like a two-dimensional something on a piece of paper, practically. I mean, yes, you could draw it in the air, or you could draw it into your hands, or you could see them in your hands, but it all felt very two-dimensional. And in Kali Ki, these symbols come to us as not just three-dimensional, but multi-dimensional, right? They're the imprint of the divine. So they're outside of time and space, and they're ever moving and ever transforming. One morphs into the other. And so they're completely interconnected with one another. At the deepest level, there's only one symbol, or another way of saying it is all symbols lead to the one.
One S, yeah.
And of course, I guess this piece I left out, as you know, the symbols are also, so they're the imprint of the divine, and they work with certain frequencies, so they're also portals or gateways into certain frequencies and certain healing frequencies. And in Kali Ki Reiki, we have symbols that are not just about healing, but they're about what I call wisening, our spiritual awakening, because they are portals to higher consciousness.
Yeah, I think of the symbols, even the traditional symbols, in such a way like that. I had to work with them in a way where I could feel them. So it
Yeah.
was, yeah, I needed to feel into the frequency of each and like almost like the information and how it activates that same kind of essence within our own being that's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah. And all symbols, I mean, all the symbols to me, they're light, you
Yes.
know, because light is the means by which the divine transmits. And but they're not depicted that way, you know, in
Yeah.
traditional Reiki. So in Kali Ki Reiki, we make the symbols, the graphics of them, you know, white on a black background,
Right.
just to bring the idea through that this is light.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. So, and it's funny because as you're saying it, visualizing the story you told, I mean, especially if that's how you saw all of this, the way the information came to you in a very luminous way. So, I have to ask you about the divine feminine part because you've mentioned the divine mother, Kali, all of this. And this is a big topic of conversation, at least over the last few years within the spiritual community, like the awakening of the divine feminine and reconnecting to divine mother essence and these sorts of things. So, do you think, or were you even told that there was a reason for at this time specifically that Kali came through to you this way, and what aspect of healing needed, perhaps, the divine feminine presence.
Yeah. So what I was directly told by her was that these symbols are being brought in now because we need them in these critical times. There was n She didn't give me any direct message about like why they're being brought in by the divine feminine or why they're being brought into the midwife is how I like to say it, by in a female form, you know, by a woman. But that just became kind of clear to me after a while. Like it, you know, in so many ways, the earth is calling out for the nurturing, the love, the courage to change and to transform, to find and speak the truth. And these are all aspects of the divine feminine. To recognize that at essence we are love. And that's the biggest teaching really of Kali Ki Reiki. This stuff we call Reiki is simply love, and it's the energy of it, which is really nothing new in a certain way
Yeah.
in terms of Reiki, but the presentation, I think, is different.
So I have to ask you about that too, because I know we there are several different lineages of Reiki now, and yeah, there are several different lineages, and there are, you know, sometimes you may see here or there that people, once they are working with energy, they may have certain insights, but it's not necessarily like a full-bodied system that comes through. So, in this experience with you, with even working with Kali Ma, were you like investigative? Like, what did you have any feeling of like hesitancy of what am I supposed to
Oh,
do with
yeah.
all of this? How did it all come together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sure did. I mean, first of all, you know, this started in 2008,
Right.
and my book only got published last year. I was really cautious about all this, right? And I consulted with some very traditional, well-known Reiki people who some gave me the deep go ahead. And one basically, told me I had no business doing, calling this a lineage. And initially, I didn't think it was, and my teacher had taught me that it's not unusual for Reiki masters to receive a symbol. That's usually their own symbol, and they work with it for themselves. It's not the same thing as claiming a new Reiki lineage. So I was very, very hesitant to do this. And it took actually several years before I even began to see it this way. It was like, oh, we're going to just work with this additional symbol. Right. And then they kept coming, and then they kept coming. And as we worked with them, we, meaning me and my students, we began to feel like, oh my God, this really is a complete system. And we have a master symbol. We have multiple healing symbols. We have symbols that help awaken consciousness, that help us connect with other dimensions and various things. And each one, as it was revealed, was like a total surprise. Every time I thought, okay, this is done, this is over. And then suddenly something would show up, and it would be like a year in between, or two, or whatever. And then it was like, it just, there just was no question. I have to say that there was a point in which I went in and I tried to communicate with Mako Esui and, kind of get a blessing or ask. And I felt like I got the blessing. It's like, it's kind of a big deal to be making such an announcement. And in the book, I share the symbols that, they're depicted, right? Which is not what we do in traditional Reiki. And I struggled for a while, even over that. And I really felt like I got the go-ahead from Ma. And also, it was like I couldn't write a book about Kali Ki Reiki and the experiences with these symbols and how they work, without showing them. So, I know it's just, it's unconventional. I wanted to be cautious. And now the book's out there, and everyone is welcome to experience it for yourself, and have your own sense of what this is.
Well, I'm curious about this because I think once you come into this realm, whether it's through Reiki, yoga, meditation, whatever your practices may be, just like we mentioned a little earlier, it does transform us in ways. And I think for a lot of us, it does open us up to these new possibilities of what we're capable of or what we may be beyond how we may have seen ourselves prior, all of these layers. And you spoke about the three pillars to your work. What is it about Kali Ki? Like, if, and I know you have the love forces, like, that's really the focus. But what would you say it's really pointing us towards? So, if someone was curious about, if I come into the system, what are even these symbols? What are the layers that it's emphasizing?
I think what they're emphasizing is healing really only happens through a transformation of consciousness, true healing. And these symbols help us to awaken and expand our consciousness. And in Kali Ki Reiki, we say that there are two wings to this practice, right? There's the healing, the symbols, and there's a meditation practice. And we expect everyone to have a very deep meditation practice. And with these two practices, one can soar with those two wings. Because That is what healing is about. And that's different than what psychology teaches. It's certainly different than what medicine teaches. And it's actually different from what a lot of energy healing teaches, right? Energy healing teaches, here, there's this method, you do this, and that'll shift your energy and you'll feel better, right? But what is feeling better? Feeling better, yes, it can be relief from physical pain. It can be relief from emotional trauma and holding. But it's more than that. You know, the word healing is based on the word wholeness. And it's coming into our wholeness and recognizing what we truly are beyond this ego, beyond this body. And if we don't do that, really, globally, right? We're in big trouble on this earth. And that's why I feel like these symbols and this lineage was brought in now. I don't think this is the only way. You know, there are many ways, but this is one way of beginning to operate at a higher frequency with strength, right? With groundedness, so that we can not just transform ourselves and our consciousness, but, you know, transform society and all our cultural conditioning, which is like huge, right? It weighs us down phenomenally.
And there's been so much eruption around all of this too. I think so much is coming to the surface, revealing to us a lot of healing that is possible and necessary in so many ways, which is also why I think so many people now are more drawn to energy work and alternative ways of seeing and understanding what wellness means for us. And I want to talk about the book and your classes as well. I know I don't have you all day, but I have one more question as it relates to Kali Ki. And the reason is because you did mention Kundalini. And I wanted to know if that's also a focal point in the system in terms of the activation, the movement of this energy, this essence. And does that play a part in the, I guess, like the conversation of what we're refining or how?
Yeah, so I mean, I would say that Kundalini is the same as the love force. It is the life force energy anyway. It's the prana, it's the ki. That is Kundalini. But certainly when one practices Kali Ki Reiki or many other things, there can be a Kundalini awakening, right? That can be sometimes wonderful and sometimes a little frightening. And this is when the chakras begin to open and the system's not prepared for it. So one of the things that a regular practice of Kali Ki Reiki does is it allows the system to be prepared for a sudden surge of energy to flow through it. Also, meditation, a regular meditation practice helps that because this is when people get into trouble, right? The system's not ready, but it arises. And certainly, you know, like most energy practices, we focus on the chakras. In Kali Ki Reiki, we actually have 16 chakras that we identify, and plus a few subsidiary ones. So we definitely work with those, and we want, of course, to balance the chakras. And so many people in our society now are, you know, so focused on the upper chakras. We want people to be balanced. We want it to be embodied. Can I just do one kind of little demonstration?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Yolanda. Because you were talking in the beginning about embodying these things and how, you know, our consciousness and how our healing can change how we carry ourselves and how we breathe. So if people out there want to do this while I'm describing it, feel free. Even if you want to stand up, it would be great, and ground your feet in. Or if you're seated, ground your feet in. Make your posture nice and tall and strong. And imagine a line of light flowing through your body centrally, right? grounding deep into the earth and rising even infinitely above you, and feel your body kind of wrapped around that line. We call it the soul line. But this would also be like the central time, the ten central sphere of the Trishul. And now imagine at your heart center intersecting a horizontal line. And in order to really feel that, raise your arms up so that your upper arms are parallel with the earth. And yeah, and then your lower arms are reaching up. So you are now in this trident form. You are the Trishul. And so really put some power into those arms by feeling the intersection of the vertical line of light and the horizontal line of light at the heart. And let that energy radiate out through the heart, up through the arms, and even out through the palms, so you can place the palms so that they're facing up and connect into the universe. So you're grounded and rooted below and connecting above. And you become the Trishul. And then take a deep breath. And then bring yourself back to your original seated position. Yeah, and just notice how you feel, right? It's like it's moved through you. It's moved you. There's a transformation. There's a shift.
Yeah. And that's what is so incredible. Again, like we were talking about it in the beginning too. I think there are so many ways that we can support ourselves with what seems so simple. So, I mean, you just guided us through this exercise. It didn't even take 5 minutes, right? But if you practiced it, well, I will speak for myself. I did feel a shift in my body. You know, there is something to opening ourselves up, and the combination with the visualization and just all the layers of, again, what we're capable of, but God, it makes such a difference to our function.
So we've got a retreat coming up. It's called our transformational retreat. And you do need to have some initiation into Kali Ki Reiki for this, but we're going to be working on each of the symbols, dancing them and sounding them, right?
Just tell you something really quickly. It's interesting because, again, I told you, like I always tell people, find your seat and posture and blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting how you, I think, in the body, like you just feel not just more spacious, but more radiant after you do something like that. Like that's the
Radiant,
sensation that I feel.
luminous
I just,
light.
yes, I feel more light. I feel more, yeah. Thank you. So,
And you see it. I mean, I see it in your face as I'm looking at you.
yeah.
And we see
Yeah.
it in clients after we've given them a Reiki session.
Right. Right.
I
And
often advise people to go look in the mirror.
well, I'm so glad that you gave this example because I think it also points to where a lot of people may give up on their practice because they think they don't have the time. And people put the story on themselves that they have to allot all of this time in order to have a significant impact to their healing. You just debunked it, so thank you for
Oh, good.
that. But
Let's
let's get
debunk
back to the
whatever we
retreat.
can.
Let's do it while we're here. So I want to ask you about this. So you have a retreat coming up in Bali, but people would have to already have some
Oh,
exposure.
not for the Bali retreat.
Oh, that's a
No, this
separate.
is a different retreat we have coming up. In the Bali retreat, yes, we want you to at least be attuned to our first level. But that's easy peasy to do. The retreat in Bali is in September, and we have two or three openings left. So, I would love to have some folks. And then we do workshops once a month, many of which are online, some are in person. And I also do, we have a couple weekly online satsangs. But you were going to ask me, I don't need to tell you.
So I'm glad that you're sharing this, but also curious for people listening as well. What is the structure within the system? How many levels are there? And do you have to wait in between? How does that work?
Okay, so we have our first level. It's only a A weekend, I say we do it in different ways. And that's it almost incorporates in the traditional sense, first and second level, in that we come into distant healing right away. And we heal past and future selves as well. But it also has all the basics. So in our first level, you actually get three symbols. Then often we have a second level class about a month later, but you can wait a little longer if you like. That's a little more time, and then you get into the more advanced symbols. I don't know if they're really more advanced, but not only have healing aspects and help us do things like connect in with source and work with ancestral trauma and various things, psychic surgery, but beyond that, these symbols really contribute to one's spiritual awakening. So our first and second levels are pretty straightforward. We recommend a lot of practice in between. And then our Master Path program, it only is offered once a year. And it is a year-long, very intensive program for mastery in Kali Ki Reiki. And it includes mentoring, group sessions, a lot of self-practice and practice with others.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I have to ask you this too. It just on I know the answer to part of this, but for overall, are there elements in the system of Kali Ki that still include some of the more traditional aspects of Usui Reiki Roho? So like, are the traditional symbols still used, or the Gokai, the Reiki principles, are those kind of elements?
Yeah, okay. So for the longest time, I did still teach the traditional symbols. I'm not teaching them anymore. In our master path, I do want them to be attuned to them all so that they've got that. But we definitely have our Kali Ki Reiki principles, which is a modification and adaptation. I'd be happy to recite them for
Yes,
you.
please do.
Okay. In this present moment, no anger. In this present moment, no worry. This present moment, gratitude, forgiveness. This present moment, karma dissolves. This present moment, compassion for self, for others. This present moment, limitless. This present moment, love.
It's very beautiful. It's interesting. The echoing, of course, it stands out the this present moment similarly to just for today. But it's interesting how even the words that we speak, how they really can support that direction of mind and again feel very transformative.
Yeah.
So I just want to, highlight that for people listening again. You don't always have to have, all the time in the world in order to apply different practices that
Yeah.
really can support you in your peacefulness, your mindfulness.
Right. Right. And we have several pranayams or breaths that we do and that we teach, and we also have our own meditation practice. But these, the breaths take very, very little time. They're easy to learn. There are lots of videos on the website using these various breaths. And a lot of our students, that's what they do. They just go to what we call the Kali Ki four-part breath. And yeah. So you're right. It's like, and we need these things. Yes, we need. I feel we do need an ongoing practice, but we've got to have things that we can use when we just need to pitch it,
So I know that you do teach classes in person and online. And for anyone curious, you do have an online class May 4th and 5th that is
Yes.
upcoming. And is that level one?
That will be a level, a first level.
Right.
I haven't even gotten it up on the website yet.
Okay.
The decision was just made, but it will be online and it'll be that weekend. Yeah.
Okay. And I
And I also
also.
do teach privately sometimes, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good option. So I do want to ask you some more about the book itself, because if nothing else, I mean, having the book out makes this very accessible to everyone. Even if you're curious, you want to, research in your own way, so to speak, to see what you think of Kali Ki. And you also said that the symbols are in there and all of these things. So you can really get an idea of what it is that came through for you and what the system is pointing to. And I just want to say again, it's this lineage that's based on the divine feminine and yogic traditions. And that's the way that it's often described. With the book, it's called May the Love Force be with you. And it's available in book format, but also Audible has it as well. You can get it as an audiobook, which is how I have it. So you could go right on Audible and download and start listening today as well. One of the other things, though, I didn't want to forget to ask you about was the drop method
Oh
that
yeah.
you also work with. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, let me just say with the Audible, there are the downloads of the symbols. So you can look at them, meditate with them, and study them. So drop, DROPPP, deep release of persistent pain patterns. So it combines some well-studied psychological processes for working with trauma and Reiki. And so we begin with offering Reiki so that the system is relaxed, the person feels safe. And so it's a much more loving and it's a more gentle way, but very effective for dealing with trauma. Then I invite you in to a dialogue with your pain, your issue, whatever it is. And you never actually know what's going to come up. What you might think you're going to address the trauma you had with your grandmother, and suddenly you're addressing the pain in your knee. And that's absolutely fine because everything's connected. And it's a dialogue in which I give you the words I want you to say out loud, which are words of love. So it's like we're offering love to our unwanted pains and traumas. And then they begin to speak to us and give us messages. And that's often what allows them to cease. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems almost obvious with your background and all that you have really been dedicated to sharing through your work. And I say that because, again, I remember when I first started practicing Reiki, which was after you had started. But even back then, some people were very uncomfortable to even say that they were practitioners of Reiki. And that's still true today. There are some people that, because you don't want to feel judged and there may be a lot
I'm
of
still
misunderstanding.
considered woo-woo.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And so even though energy work has become a bigger conversation and it is becoming more mainstream in a lot of ways, yeah, people can still have some discomfort about that type of exposure. And then for you to go further in that and say, not only am I exposing myself as a practitioner, but I'm also bringing through this another way of working with this divine intelligence and really giving us other layers to unlocking different aspects of ourselves, our consciousness, all of this. So I just want to point that out because, a lot of people, there are lots of judgments with which system is right and who's practicing the right way. And there's a lot. And so for anyone, I think, to have the courage really to say, this is what I feel called to, this is what feels true to me, and I'm going to share it and I'm going to put it out there, even if it's a bit uncomfortable and I don't know
Right.
how it will be received. So I just want to acknowledge that and say thank you
Thank
for
you.
that, because I think hopefully, even with all that you shared today, that it encourages people to even be a little more willing to stand in what's true for you, as especially as it relates to your healing, and really be more open and receptive to what does call to you and what feels resonant to you. I really hope that for all of us. So with that, what is it that, you hope to see as we all continue to evolve through these layers of the human experience
Oh,
and
wow.
sharing these kinds of methods such as Reiki and Kali Ki? And what do you dream of seeing for us?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a big question, right? But it's a big question I think we all have. And that is for us all to find the freedom to speak our truth with love, to speak truth with power. With the love force, right? You know, we talk about speaking truth to power, but let's speak it with the love force and not just speak it, but radiate the love force, like you were saying. To me, that's Reiki mastery, right? It's like we become the Reiki, we become the love force. And the more any of us can become that, even though, of course, we're imperfect and what have you, right? We transmit. And in that transmission, there can be ultimately a change of consciousness on our earth that is absolutely needed for our land and for our people. And it is. You know, it is needed now. And that's why she's coming. She's heard us crying, you know, and she's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Just look within.
Just look within. So I have to ask you this too. I thought we were wrapping up. We are wrapping up, but you just made me think of another question. And that's just curious about what your personal experience was, because you were already practicing Reiki in a more traditional way prior. And then when you started working with Kali Ki, were there anything or any significant kinds of shifts or changes that you noticed for yourself? And even with your students, are there any things that they say that they experience on the other side of or during, working with and connecting to?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that to every one of the students, you know, they definitely feel more connected to the whole, to the divine. And I think everyone feels like they walk through life with greater ease as a result of this. For me, I mean, every time I received a symbol, right, I was getting a tremendous healing. And, you know, when I received the symbol that it like charges us and brings us in connection with the divine, I was in that total unity connection with everything. And so for me personally, every one of these symbols has been a profound gift. And to be able to then share them in a way that other people can use them for healing and for wisening, that's a gift beyond imagining. Right? Like when I was first told, you know, well, sometimes masters get symbols and they use them for themselves. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I was supposed to do with that first symbol. And then I got other messages. No, this needs to be out in the world. It's like, it's so wonderful that it gets to be out in the world. And you know, these offerings are just there for people, like you said. Look at the book, look at the symbols, meditate on them, see if they, you know, if they activate anything in you. And if they do, wonderful. And if they don't, you know, you move on. And it's absolutely fine. But what I know is they do bring in a certain frequency, and that's a frequency that there are many people tuning into and needing to tune into. So I'm just so grateful for that. And may we all find the frequencies of the divine that allow us to function with greater ease and to transmit that light. You know, Yolanda, like you're doing, you interview different people with such different views and experiences and ways of being, and you're bringing each one of those out there. People listen to them. Some are going to really connect with one person, some one way, some with others, but it's like you're transmitting, it's all getting transmitted through you. You're like a power station. And right? And this is, I think, something that those of us who have had any kind of awakening need to understand. We get to experience it for ourselves, but we also don't get to keep it for ourselves.
Right. Oh,
Right.
that's so funny you say. Yeah, a friend of mine and I, we used to, years ago, and we would channel together. We were practicing back then. And we would always get these messages of like, it's not just for your notebooks. And we'd be like, oh, yeah. And years later, we still never shared any of it. But it is,
Okay.
so true. And well, the podcast now is my contribution, right? Like and it's true what you say. And a lot of people do wonder, like why I like such a variety on the show. And it's exactly for that reason. Whether anything resonates with me or not, we all have different things that call to us. And so like I have no attachment to that. And I will say, if it is way off the deep end, I'm probably not going to do that interview just because, you know, I feel like I have a, you know, accountability to
Sure,
not, you know, yeah. But like we all have different things that inspire us and speak to our heart and, you know, call to us. And I think it's important. I think we're lucky that we have so many options of getting to the same thing.
I
So,
think so too.
yeah.
And I think also at a certain point, we need to kind of find a path and stay with it.
Yeah.
Let it take us to the same point instead
Yeah.
of having 100 paths that take us off.
Oh, you need a new view. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sick of this view. No.
Exactly.
But it has been so wonderful. I'm really thankful that we got to have this conversation. And I just want to let everyone know that they can learn more about you, your work, you know, find out about the classes, the retreats, everything that you have. Thewisdomschool.us. So if you go to thewisdomschool.us, that is the website, but also the book, again, May the Lo Love Force Be With You. Is not only available in paperback, but also as an Audible book. Do you happen to have a copy there that you can show?
Yes, and Kindle. It's available in Kindle.
Beautiful. Oh, and there's the symbol you were talking about. So it's kind of like it's looks like the trident blended with the Om symbol.
So this we call the Om Trishul, right?
Ah, yes.
And so this is the masculine and the feminine, right? The feminine, the peace, the love, the wholeness, embracing the power of the Trishul. Yeah.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming to share with all of us. And again, if you want to learn more about Rajashree and her beautiful work, go to thewisdomschool.us and we will see you all next time. Bye for now.
May the love force be with us all.
Okay, beautiful alchemist. I just want to thank Rajashree again for coming to have this conversation with us. Again, her method, her lineage is called Kali Ki Reiki, and you can also get her book called May the Love Force Be With You, which is available in paperback as well as on Audible and Kindle. Her website is thewisdomschool.us. So thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to share with us here on Reiki Radio. Thank you, all of you, of course, for being part of the community. And if you want to join me for the Reiki Retreat Intensive in September, be sure that you are registered and signed up for my newsletter so you always know about upcoming events. You also get free downloads when you register for my newsletter as well, but just be sure to do that or email me directly. Let me know that you want to come and I will send you the information. Aside from that, don't forget to download the Energetic Alchemist app for more content to support you in your energetic alchemy. I hope you all are having a beautiful day and remember to always journey in love.